discussion is external energy to discuss. And in this chapter, it's discussing about Ashtanga Yoga mixed with Bhakti. So, when we take darshan of the deities, so we meditate from the lotus feet, then we gradually progress. Even Bhagavatam also, if you take Bhagavatam, each canto represents the limb of the Lord and ending up in the lotus face. And this meditation, if you see, it's not an imagination. So this is very clearly explained. This is clearly given. Because imagination leads to further imagination. So imagination is completely rooted out. So now how to meditate? So the details are given in the scriptures. So Prabhupada writes that so many people ask why Krishna color is blue, why Krishna is like that. So it's not a speculative answer that Krishna, okay, blue. No, it's given in Brahma Samhita. Prabhupada quotes this, given in Brahma Samhita, given in scriptures, given in Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the color. Even in the previous, verses, it said, you know, Krishna is like a lotus petal tinged with the blue and white color. And in Brahma Samhita, it's even like a, you know, the monsoon cloud. So the details is mentioned. So that way, we can get benefit from scriptures and be able to meditate. And what, so if you, for example, that details is there so that we can understand, and not only that, we can also understand why we have to meditate on each and every, why not whole. So it is actually benefiting us. So in the section where, in the starting of the meditation, you know, it said one has to meditate on the lotus feet. So in the lotus feet there are particular symbols. So these symbols actually help us to understand why, what is the benefit of meditation. One such, you know, for example, it is mentioned the symbols like thunderbolt, balikam, elephant god, Ambala, lotus, there, you know, specific reason. And for example, if you meditate, and one has to meditate on the lotus feet for a long time because we have accumulated mountains of sin. So many years, time immemorial, we are in this material world, have accumulated so much of sin, and the desire to lord over material nature is strong. And to remove this mountain, the thunderbolt which is there in the lotus feet, which helps to smash all the sins and to remove and to guide our mind. And specifically this section of Bhagavatam, it talks about yoga, and the purpose of yoga is to control the mind, fix the mind on the Supreme Lord. The yoga means, you know, different path is there, and all ends up in the Supreme Lord. But actually in reality, yoga means only bhakti yoga. You cannot, you know, whatever that karma, ashtanga is there, is all karma leading to bhakti yoga. Ashtanga leading to bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is the topmost. It's a end, is the culmination of meditation of the Supreme Lord. So to meditate means to fix on the mind. To fix on the mind means, so these symbols actually help to fix the mind. So like, you know, smashes the sin. The elephant god means that, you know, the god is used to guide the elephant to go in the right path. So similarly, our mind is like an elephant, mad elephant. To guide our mind in the right path, this elephant god is used. So the lotus is, they represent the beauty of a lake. So when the mind is fixed on the Supreme, the lotus is actually an ornament in the mind lake. So we know, you know, everything has, you know, there is a benefit. So we know about this thing. It helps us purification. So in a Nectar of Instruction, I was reading Prabhupada, right? You know, if it doesn't matter which spiritual path or which spiritual you are doing, there is no spirituality if there is no control of senses and mind. You cannot practice spirituality without controlling senses and mind. And that is the first, you know, how we control our senses and our mind and how we experience them. And Prabhupada says, you can experience, you know, by seeing and by hearing. It's very important. By seeing and... So a fool learn, get an experience by seeing. So Prabhupada gives an example of a thief. A thief will learn a mistake by seeing, by undergoing. But an intelligent person knows, okay, there is stealing, there is a law and order. If you steal, then you will be punished. And Prabhupada, there is a third class, person who sees, who experiences, who undergo, but doesn't want to change. He's a rascal. So Prabhupada, and also there is another that, they said, Niyamagraha, that word, Prabhupada said, there's two meanings. One is completely rejecting, and another is following the rules and regulation of his, spiritual, just for the name's sake, not following for advancement. So if we understand that, so these details are given, if we can able to use that to advance in our spiritual life, then we are progressing in the right path. Otherwise, we are just a namesake, I know, but it's not helping. Because that knowledge, culmination of knowledge is applying. It doesn't matter whether material or spiritual. So this helps us, these details helps us in understanding. And also Bhagavad Gita says, so for example, there are impersonal meditators, but that meditation is very troublesome and very frustrating. It's not easy. And it's not possible also. So by reading the meditation, as I said earlier also, that imagination is ruled out and the detail is in the scripture. So Prabhupada writes in one of the purport, end of the purport in few verses back, he says that reading standard scriptures is necessary for executing yoga, and practicing yoga without reading the standard literatures is simply a waste of time. So we have the scriptures, we can use, read, and this is the benefit of Bhakti Yoga. So what the meditation, which is Smaranam, which is the seventh link of an Ashtami Yoga, is the third of Bhakti Yoga. So hearing, chanting and meditation. So Prabhupada writes, for us it is very easy because we have to follow this hearing and chanting. By hearing and chanting, the pastimes of Krishna is actually helping us to meditate. So, and this, and also not only that, Prabhupada says, so for example, for a devotee, meditation in the mind is maybe troublesome. So that's why we engage in a deity worship. So in the deity worship we are doing, it actually helps us to, advance. Because the meditation of each and every being, dressing or serving the deities, helping. Not only that, to the desire to see beautiful things, the desire to hear beautiful things, everything is dovetailed in the Krishna service. So here right now the verse is discussing the arms of the Lord, and it explains about the Mandara mountains. So this detail of this pastime is given in 8th canto, where the demigod, there was a fight between demigod and demons. So the demigod lost their luster and lost their swarga because of two reasons. One is the demons are powerful, because they got the benefit, they got the blessing of their spiritual master Shukracharya, and also the time is favorable. It's very interesting when they approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord said that this is the time is in favor with the demons, so you just have to make a truce. You need to make an agreement with them till the time comes. But why the demigods have come to this position? Because the leader of demigod, that Indra, has disrespected, Dhruvasa Muni.
Yes, destroyed and never comes back.
Yes, it's the worst one.
That is Vritta Sutra.
So, that was the Vritta Sutra. That was Vritta Sutra, different. That Brihaspati, that is different in I think in
sixth canto. So this was, you know, he actually when he was walking, he saw Indra, he offered the garland. And because of the opulence and because of this material reach, actually bewildered the mind of Indra. Prabhupada actually write that to be extremely opulent in materialistic advancement is sometimes very risky. The materially opulent person does not care about anyone and thus he commits offenses to great personalities such as devotees and great saints. So out of his, you know, madness, he gave his garland to his elephant Airavat. Elephant is an elephant. Does not know the importance of this garland. Garland, whatever. So the elephant put this garland between his legs and trashed it. So this actually, you know, made feel bad. And he cursed that you will lose all your opulence. In all the three worlds actually. So this, you know, the time has favored the demons and they took over them. So obviously, the demons flourishing means it's an awkward situation in the world. So Prabhupada writes, when demons become powerful, the entire world is placed in an awkward position because demons are simply interested in their own sense gratification and not in the welfare of the world. Looks like current situation. When I read this, I thought, you know, rightly, right from is happening this. Is that the leaders are not concerned about the welfare of the people. They are concerned about their own sense gratification and their own welfare. So that's the difference between the demigods and demons. So when that happened, so the demigods, they're, you know, approaching Brahma. This is very another instructive thing, that Brahma is their father. Even Brahma is the father for both demigods and demons. Even though, you know, the demons are coming from his Prajapatis or from his sons, he is the grandfather of father. And he is their spiritual master. So when there is a material perplexity, one is, you know, behooved to approach a spiritual master. That's the instruction. When we are undergoing some materialistic problem, sometimes, you know, it's we need to approach a bona fide spiritual master. That's what Arjuna did in the Bhagavad Gita. And that's what our Bhagavad Gita also says, Tadviti Pranipatena, to understand the truth, to want to know. And Brahma actually heard from the Supreme Lord and seen also. So sometimes we may not have that knowledge, or we may not see, or we may not understand certain things. But there are people who have seen, who have understood, who have, you know, assimilated things. Instead of rather than wrecking our head, it's better to approach a person who has seen. That's how, you know, expert, like in material world also, if you want to do certain things, there are expertise in that field. And we approach them so that we can save our time, energy and everything. So that our philosophy is that a parampara disciplic succession is there to make it easy for us. Otherwise, imagine where we will be ending up. If we are trying to speculate or trying to imagine things, we will be nowhere. We will be like, you know, raven clouds, like Bhagavad Gita says. So, it's interesting that they approach Brahma, that Brahma have seen, you know, Brahma in second canto we can see, Brahma actually shook hands with the Supreme Lord. He has seen, he has heard from the Supreme Lord. So they are approaching the Lord, and Brahma along with the demigods went to the Svetati, the ocean of milk. This whole, you know, in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 10 topics, and one is about Manu. each Manu, there is a particular incarnation of the Lord. And when this whole pastime came about, when Parikshit Maharaj inquired further, when Sukadeva Goswami explained about Swayambhuva Manu, and then he was explaining about, you know, fifth Manu and sixth Manu. So he was telling, in sixth Manu, the Lord appeared as Ajita, and he took a form of a tortoise and helped in the churning within the ocean and milk and got the nectar, and then he moved on. Then Parikshit Maharaj stopped there. He said, "No, can you explain further? Can you tell about this incarnation? Why would the Lord take that, you know, position, you know, supporting role with demigods? What was the churning about? Where it took place? What we got? Is that only nectar we got? Is anything came out of that churning? Can you explain a bit more?" So you can see that this actually, you know, made very happy in Sukadeva Goswami. Most of the, you know, Bhagavatam, if you see, the Parikshit Maharaj actually, you know, inquired further. He is not sad, even though he is about to die in 7 days, but he don't want to miss the details. One day become restless, you know, come close to the tenth canto. Say they start Krishna pastime. Even in Krishna pastime, we can see, you know, the pastime between from Agassur to Brahma, you know, there was one again inquiry. Even in tenth canto also you can see. This is again and again repeating. This shows the inquisitive of an hearing. How concentrated, how attentive the hearing is, that he don't want to miss each and every detail. So this whole pastime came over. Otherwise you would have missed this pastime. If you would have not asked that question, then Sukadeva Goswami would have moved on. You know? So then he told, you know, can you explain? So then the Supreme Lord appeared before the demigods and demons, and they said, you need to tie up with, you know, deal with the demons and follow the logic of snake and mouse. The snake and mouse logic is that a snake and a rat mouse was caught in a basket. A snake cannot escape, but a rat can bite a hole. The snake made a deal with the rat, you know, mouse, that you make a hole that we both can escape. But the intention of the snake is, once the rat make the hole, the snake will eat the rat and it will escape. Mm. So the Supreme Lord is giving this logic, saying that you need to, you know, employ them to churn the ocean. To make the, you know, situation calm, the Supreme Lord himself could have done, but he wants to enact this pastime. He wants to do these things, extraordinary things. Each and every incarnation do extraordinary things, right? So he ordered, okay, we'll use this Mandara mountain. This mountain is made out of gold. It's a huge mountain. The Supreme Lord said, okay, we'll use this mountain too as a churning rod. And you have to put all the vegetables, all the grass, all the herbs into the ocean, and we'll call Vasuki as a churning, you know, rope. So when they carried, they couldn't be able to carry the exhaust, they dropped the mountain, some of the people died. Then again Supreme Lord came and he said, okay, I will also take part. Then he himself came and took the position, and then they started churning. When they started churning, the mountain is heavy and it started sinking in the ocean. Mm-hmm. Because of the heaviness and, you know, not able to hold it. So then, to hold the mountain up, the Supreme Lord, you know, took the form of a tortoise. The tortoise, you know, it is said the size of the tortoise is like as good as a Jambudvip, 800,000 miles. A big tortoise. So he went underneath the ocean, and that became the pivot, so they can rotate. So then again, the demons were in the tail side, and the demigod were in the head side. So whatever the demigod do, the demons are still opposite. They are not happy with their position. They thought this is very inauspicious end of an animal. So So they wanted to go to the other side. We said, you guys, you know, taking the head, me only take, we want to go there. Mm-hmm. And the Supreme Lord understood, because he just smiled and he agreed. He told clearly, see, you need to make an agreement for his interesting, he said, for a selfish motive achieving, you need to tie up with enemies, don't worry, tie up. And you give whatever they ask. And don't get agitated, whatever comes from the journey. So whatever comes from the journey, you just, you know, be calm, cool, don't get, you know, lusty or greed towards the things. And you give whatever the demons ask as well. So the demons ask, you know, we want the head position. So I said, okay. Because the, you know, when they're churning, actually Vasuki, you know, emitted the fire and poison, thousands of heads, and actually that made them, you know, weak, and some of them died as well. To hear the Lord, and then they became tired. The Lord entered into each of them as a moon. So the Lord, you know, empowered the demon as a mode of passion, and the demigod as a goodness, and the Vasuki itself as ignorance. And to hold it in a steady, the Mandara mountain is also, you know, he gives the potency of steadiness. And he expanded himself on top of the mountain with thousands of arms to hold it so they can churn. So if you practically see, the bottom also incarnation of the Lord, the mountain also is in a potency of the Lord, and the demons and demigods are also, you know, they have the Lord's potency, and the top has the Lord. The whole thing enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and used, you know, to churn. So in this verse, that churning, we may say, you know, it would be a painful for the turtle or, you know, the tortoise or, you know, avatar, Kurma avatar, but actually not. It's like a gentle scratch giving soothing effect to the Supreme Lord in the back. Sometimes we pat, you know, scratching it, sometimes head, you know, the mother head, you know, pat the child. So it's like that. It was a soothing. And you know, it's the ornaments which is mentioned in the Supreme Lord, it's not that, you know, the Supreme Lord is beautified by the ornaments, it's the other way around. The ornaments are beautified because it was present in the Supreme Lord. If you see, you know, 10th canto, Krishna, you know, is not wearing any made jewelry or something. It's a natural beauty. He's not wearing the natural minerals. Karmika flower in his ear, Kastuba gem, jewels with his turban and a robe. You know, bugle on, and then flute, and then he got a sling, you know, sling to break the yogurt pot. So if you see all the natural things Krishna carry, maybe yogurt rice and pickle. If you read, they are beautifying Krishna with his natural flowers and natural minerals and natural jewels which is available in the forest. So that it's natural setting, it's not a, and it's very beautiful. It's very beautiful. So here that limbs, whatever, you know, is being polished by the moon, because the Supreme Lord also using, you know, he is also there on the side of the demigod to churn. And the pastime continues. But here, the details of that pastime which is given only for that portion. So similarly, if you come back to this section, the yogas, the Ashtanga yoga is given, other yoga system may be difficult. It's possible, but you know, very difficult. But the beauty of Bhakti Yoga is easy and it's practical. So, for example, for us, hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna is much easier than visualizing the form of the Supreme Lord. And there is no difference also worshipping the Supreme Lord in the temple and, you know, meditating on the farm. There is no difference. Because, you know, hearing and chanting actually puts oneself in a greater meditation. We practically have experienced that. For example, if we chant verse, you know, we participate in a 12-hour kirtan, or you participate in a, you know, harinam, or you participate in, you know, chanting a bhajan, whatever. And when we finish and we you know, we are somewhere, something we're doing, then automatically that comes in our mind. That tune comes in our mind, eh? That what we did and, you know, how, you know, we all devotees and, oh, that happened, this happened, right? The whole, you know, like, if you listen to some of the senior devotees, the whole meditation is their memories with Srila Prabhupada or with their activities. That is what keeping them going. If we read the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's pastime, there is no difficulty in meditating on Krishna. Because we are, you know, continuously hearing. That is why, you know, even in material aspect, our meditation comes, you know, some movie song pops up, right? Or something comes up because we have heard many times, we have chanted the glories many times. And that comes as a meditation. And for a devotee, it's very easy. Because we are already, you know, chanting, hearing the glories. And that actually puts us in a transcendental platform. That actually helps us, you know, to meditate, to further increase advancement. So Prabhupada writes that yogis take advantage of the process of smarana, whereas bhakti yogis take a special advantage of the process of hearing and chanting. And for here, it's, you know, it given the example of this is just one. It explains only the two hands. The next verse it will explain about the other, like the club and the lotus. So here it explains of the Sudarshan and. Conch. Here, this verse explains about. So, yogi has to meditate on each and every spokes of the Sudarshan. How difficult is that? I only know after reading that there is 1,000 spokes in the Sudarshan. So, this yogi take advantage of this, but for a bhakti yogi, he take advantage of hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. How, you know, we know every details of Krishna. What Krishna, pan color also we know. Like that details is given. Otherwise, you know, if the detail is not there, otherwise everyone will start speculating, and it's very difficult, makes difficult for process in spirituality. If it is given, that is by hearing and chanting and, you know, talking about or, you know, chanting, it actually helps us to become, you know, very easy. Makes very easy. All you have to read is, you know, the books. Prabhupada says, you know, without reading standard scriptures, practicing yoga means is a waste of time. So standard scriptures, we are Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction. So many books are there. Enough books to keep us for the, you know, active for this lifetime. All you have to read and, you know, benefit. So I'll just stop here if you have any comments, questions. Just look.
You were mentioning about the science of the lotus feet. Barley corn, what does it represent?
That represents, you know, like one who will become famous. Famous, fame.
Fame of the Lord.
Yeah. Barley is also auspicious, we use for everything. Of course, all the signs are auspicious. Huh?
Why so much importance to the lotus feet?
Because the as you know, my understanding is we are all servants of Krishna. And the perfect servant is always meditating on the master's lotus feet. So, and even the, you know, in the highest devotees, gopis, they are also concerned of the lotus feet of the Lord. When he was dancing in Kaliya's head, when he was hanging in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, when he was walking in the forest of, you know, Vrindavan, everyone concerned about, because they think it's very soft, butter-like. And what pain it would have undergone by touching this hard earth, or dancing on the head of Kaliya, or running in the grass and pebbles. Even the cows, they want to walk before so that it can smooth and smashes all the small rocks and pebbles and make the sand soft so that Krishna can walk. And when Krishna walks, no one walks on the top of the footprints, because they get, you know, emotion by seeing the footprints of Krishna lotus. Like we have the prayers of Akrura. So even the topmost devotees are always meditating on this lotus feet. Because they, the gopis also praying, when this lotus feet, they, you know, Krishna will place on my body. I get, you know, purified. So I think that is, as a servant, we want to be in that mood.
I also understand that Bhakti Devi also lies in the lotus feet of Krishna. So we are remembering Bhakti Devi. Make more auspicious.
Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Madam.
Yes, also it is not whether all the auspicious servants is not sweet. So it's for the protection of the devotees, because he is symbol as his own.
Yes, Sudarshan is for the protection. Yes,
you mentioned that in Bhakti Yoga, how important it is to do chanting and hearing. And then you also mentioned that if we are doing yoga without reading, then it's a waste of time. So what's the order of importance out of all these three processes?
Order of reading and chanting?
Reading, hearing, and chanting.
Yeah, the best is hearing. Because our nine manga starts from hearing. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vishnu, Chaitanam. The first is Shravanam. Because there is a person Bhagavat and book Bhagavat. A person Bhagavat speaks with the realized of book Bhagavat. That's why we give importance when realized soul speak. We give importance. That's why we have the Srimad Bhagavatam class every day. We came Bhagavat the Savior, because this will remove all the dirt in the heart. So hearing. And reading also hearing. So this purpose are not just Prabhupada written. He is speaking. So he spoke all this purpose in dictaphone. And that was typed. So actually we are hearing Prabhupada. So one can hear. Okay. Kamsa Srimad Bhagavatam.
Jai Prabhupada. Jai.